Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
When we hear the phrase well-being, we often think that it can be slightly airy-fairy and might have very little to do with business success. My next guest thinks this is fundamentally wrong. His new book sees well-being as the engine that drives innovation, resilience, and indeed results. It's great to welcome Chris Cummings. He's the author of The Wellbeing Centered Workplace, 10 Strategies Fueling Business Growth and Performance. You're very welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks very much for having us, Bobby. Great to be here.
Now, am I right in saying that your interest in wellness came about from personal experience?
It did, yeah. I was minding my own business in the corporate world, Bobby. Back in 2013, it was actually my partner's anxiety and depression that and then subsequent poor treatment at work, really, which motivated me to start this movement around well-being at work back in 2014. So I quit the corporate role and got myself out there and created Wellbeing at Work, which is a series of summits that take place around the world and really to bring leaders together to demonstrate the benefits of why focusing on well-being at work and in particular the mental health of your employees can really fuel business success.
Okay. Now, you say that well-being is not a soft skill, but it's a strategic advantage that drives innovation, resilience, and results. So let's maybe drill into that a bit.
Yeah. So, over the last 12 years at our summits, we've heard great case studies from organizations around the world. But also that the book that I've written is talking about our own journey as an organization from a kitchen startup to a global business. And really, by focusing on well-being, by creating thriving workplaces, you really are seeing the performance increase, creativity increase, and business performance improves. And the book really talks about how we've put it at the center of our organization and to demonstrate the results that we've achieved over the last 12 years.
I'm sure no business leader sort of willfully wants any of his employees or his or her employees to have any well-being issues or mental health issues. So why does it go wrong? Why do some organizations have employees that have mental health challenges and others maybe less so?
Well, I think in terms of if we look at the Irish economy, three-quarters of employers recognise their responsibility towards employee mental health, which is great, a large percentage, but only a third have actually implemented organisational response to support it. So there's a big gap between intention and action, and we know that when you do have these in place, we reduce turnover by up to 46%. And share prices increase by up to 20%. So the business performance and the business imperative to really focus on this, not only to talk about it, but to have the action is really important.
Not wishing to be cynical around anything around this, Chris, but, you know, when you hear about people, and I've heard people talking about duvet days and, you know, I've got X amount of mental health days per year, almost considering them like holidays. And I've heard people say this. Is there any sort of grounds to be somewhat cynical about misuse of this?
Well, I think if we focus on the tactical elements, so some organisations might have a workshop on mental health, a one-off workshop, or they might introduce an app for their employees. If we're just tinkering around the edges, then this is where the conversation tends to go. Look at it from a strategic point of view and look at it holistically. we can really see the business improvements around profitability and performance and productivity. And as business leaders, that's what we all want. I would say, yes, we can get cynical if we tinker around the edges, but if we think of well-being like we do with any other department within an organization, when we talk about sales, when we talk about marketing, when we talk about finance, we really put the effort in strategically around those departments. And if we do the same with well-being at work, then the results will really show.
What about the affordability of all this? If we look at things like you say about the huge benefits around flexibility, they can often be quite costly to a business. Do you counteract that with that's short-term thinking rather than long-term?
I think offering your employees flexibility at work doesn't need to cost anything. I think the skill set that we need as leaders, compassion, empathy, understanding to help employees thrive. I think, again, that is just down to some simple training and really understanding how to get the best out of your teams. If we look at the latest Gallup report, for example, the state of workplace, 9% of Irish employees are actually engaged at work. That means over 90% of Irish employees are not engaged. And when we're not engaged, we're simply not doing our best work. We're just coasting. So if we want to have thriving businesses that are delivering outstanding results, then a real focus on this is so important.
But to your own point then, Chris, 90% of employees being disengaged is a huge cost to organisations.
It really is, and it's a huge cost to the wider economy. I think, you know, we talk a lot at the moment about productivity, about how we can really grow the economy. This is an essential part of that. And having engaged employees, we know delivers outstanding results.
Lastly, can I ask you about the measurement of well-being? Because it is one of those subject matters that can mean different things to different people. So in terms of accurate measurement in an SME, for instance, how do you go about that?
There's some simple measures. We can look at, tracking absenteeism. In terms of the numbers, the healthy workplace in Ireland, the cost to Irish economy was 11 million days lost through absenteeism, which is a huge amount of time that is being lost. So those are some of the simple measurements. Look at the financial results over the medium to longer term, and that's what I really talk about in the book. Over the 12 years that we've had well-being at the centre of what we do, we've seen that significant financial growth year on year, and the level of employees wanting to stay, reduced absenteeism, and all of the good stuff that we want as leaders.
Okay. We'll leave it there. That's Chris Cummings there, the author of The Wellbeing Centred Workplace. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr. Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.